It is 6:49. Dr. Eileen Marty is a professor at Florida International University, and she joins us a little early this morning. And Dr. Marty, I have my list. Are you ready to go?
Yes, I don't have a lot of time because I'm starting class very soon.
Yeah, I know. That's why we got you on a little early. Okay, let's start with a study I just heard about regarding Pfizer's effectiveness against Omicron. What do we know about that?
So it's a preliminary report from South Africa showing a 41% reduction in efficacy. But it's very preliminary, and it doesn't take into account the layers of B cells that we talked about before. It's simply exposing in a lab the antibodies that people produced to the original vaccine to the Omicron variant. But it doesn't, cells are fluid. Cells are alive, and they change. And as they and that happens in the human body, and it's not going to happen with sera that you extract from somebody's blood. That's going to be fixed.
You know,
and that's why they're hedging their bets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying they may have to do a new formulation. They're going to go ahead and do it. And they did the same thing for Delta.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, it proved not to be necessary.
I heard some doctor yesterday say, going forward, this applies to everyone. You're going to get vaccinated or you're going to get COVID. You think that's accurate?
Well, this thing is so contagious. This new Omicron is so contagious that that's pretty much the way it goes. You know, people have to realize that viruses want to survive. And, you know, the problem with this virus, it's not a virus that only affects one species. It affects more than 500 different species, right? If it only affected one species to survive, the virus would reduce its severity in order to make sure its host survived. But since it has alternate hosts, all bets are off as to which way this virus is going to change over time.
What's the story on this? I think the company is Glaxo or something like that. They have an antibody drug that they say may work against Omicron.
That's, again, that's another preliminary bit of work. Let's just wait and see on that one.
Is the variant starting to look more like some sort of nuisance virus than a big killer?
I've heard a number of people have that thinking. If you're vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and have your booster, for you it might be. But if you're not vaccinated, not yet. That's not the story yet. Even though there seems to be a slight decrease in virulence to this Omicron in how it's behaving,
mm-hmm.
That is, again, almost exclusively in younger people who've been infected, and therefore it's really hard to tell yet.
Do you think we're going to be getting booster shots every 6 or 8 months, or do you think it'll be an annual thing we do?
I don't know, because, you know, this has been a pretty unpredictable kind of thing, but it's quite likely that we might not need booster shots if we can really get very high levels of protection in our population and make sure that as young humans develop, they get their vaccination so that we maintain a high level of protection in the human population.
A number of our listeners emailed or texted us a similar question to this one. When we go and get tested for COVID and test positive, how do we know which variant we have?
You don't. Well, simply you don't. And in the United States, it varies per state, because there, for example, in Colorado, they sequence almost everything. So in Colorado, if you're there, you may know exactly which variant you have if you ask. But in most places in the United States, we simply do PCR or even just antigen tests for positivity. And then the only thing you know is that you have a version. You don't know which version you actually have. Now, and the problem is that to do sequencing on these viruses is very expensive, right? And that's why there's a mutation at the 6970 part of the spike on Omicron that gives us a little bit of an advantage on that particular virus, because there's a primer that we have that can be thrown into the PCR that other versions of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, like the original Wuhan, the Gamma version, the Delta version, they don't have that mutation. The only ones that have it so far are the Alpha and Omicron. And that little mutation gives what's something called spike target dropout, or S target dropout, because it does, so you don't detect the spike because that little section is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a kind of a quick and dirty way to know that somebody has or might have, because you're not 100% sure unless you sequence, but definitely is not one of the original or the Delta strain.
Got it. Dr. Eileen Marty, I'm going to let you go because I know you are teaching a class this morning, and I appreciate you getting on early, getting up early for us. Well, what's the class, by the way? What class is it?
This is sickness behavior from an immunologic perspective. Why you get, why you feel fever, fatigue, hunger, or lack of hunger, rather, etc., and how to fix it for our patients.
Okay. Sorry, I can't get down to Florida immediately and take the class. Sounds interesting. We'll talk. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks again.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease specialist.